They're an arrogant, ingrown, close-knit brotherhood like the mafia. They're the product of a sick society. To hell with tomorrow. Their bag is today. Their bag is right now.
Welcome to Ben and Woods.
Oh, the hair on my neck just straight up.
With Ben Higgins.
Thank God all these bottles I popped. All this paper I've been getting. All these models I popped.
Stephen Woods.
It's my job to pull that demon out of Ben Higgins, and I will do it.
And Paul Reindel.
Oh, my God.
It's Ben and Woods.
Oh, I do. It's the long stick.
On 97.3 The Fan.
How we do it. That's how we start on a victory Thursday. Ben and Woods 97.3, The Fan. One of my favorite games of the year yesterday. I'll take about 60 more of those, 70 more of those. That was about as easy as it gets. Great, enjoyable watch. We will get into the Padres shutout of the Cubs pretty soon. We've got 4 hours today to explore the space. Welcome in, though. It is Thursday, May 9th. You're listening to Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. You're watching Ben and Woods on YouTube, listening on your smart speaker, the Odyssey app. A lot of ways to get us inside of you. Whoa. On this Thursday. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, is here. You're looking sharp this morning, Benjamin. We're dress up on purpose. What is it? You got a collared shirt on. Is it because it's roundtable day?
It's roundtable day.
Okay.
I actually am way behind on laundry, and I was like looking for my 97.3 The Fan polo. No, it's at the bottom of the hamper. There's very little choices left in the...
Looks
and,
good.
And I just went, okay, I'm going to go with this
that golf
collared shirt. I was going to put on pants. I couldn't even find pants that would go with this, so I'm in my shorts. But
why don't you do your laundry?
Well, we had to fix the dryer. Well, the weekend that I was going to do it, the dryer was broken. So
you can't throw
a bunch of stuff in the washer without... I'm not stringing up a clothesline in the backyard and finding clothespins and hanging my, you know, my unmentionables out for everyone to see.
That is how my wife... acts that she has to do laundry. That those are the days still of in the backyard with the washboard and then hanging them out to dry. She won't let me do my own laundry. She will not let me. I've asked. I've said, let me take at least my stuff off your plate. She doesn't think that I know how to do it. She doesn't like the hours in which I do it. She does off hours to save money. And she's up in off hours, but when she says she has to do laundry, you would think that she's in the backyard, like scrubbing on the board, the wet water, the wringing, the hanging on the clothesline. Which is, by the way, I remember vividly as a kid. I didn't grow up with a ton of money in the early part of my life. I vividly remember. My mama and papa's house, they didn't have a washer and dryer. There was no washer and dryer. So, I mean, they either went to the laundromat or they, like, did it themselves in the sink and, like, hung their stuff up. My grandfather was a postman, and she would just wash his uniform, hang it up, and he'd go out the next day and grab it off. I remember vividly, like, big ass panties on the line and stuff, being a kid and being like, ooh, you know, like vividly, like running through them when I was a kid playing in their backyard. And I mean, we're talking
hide and seek behind the hanging underpants.
We're talking 1979, you know? So yeah, man, but you gotta figure out a way. Have you ever had the washer and dryer broken and then had to go down to the laundromat for a while? And, like, when's the last time you went to, like, wash your clothes at a laundromat?
Two
houses ago,
I
didn't have laundry mm-hmm. in my unit, and so I did have to go to the laundromat like once a week.
Once a week. What day would you go? Like Sunday?
Sundays. Yeah. I'd go Sunday. Sunday morning. Around noon.
Okay, I go Sunday morning.
I'd sleep in, kind of get stuff together. I'd go probably around noon, and it was fine.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It wasn't bad at all.
It's not bad.
I'd go on Sundays. I'd have football on in there.
The good thing is
I'd go get groceries in between. You get that. There was a Vons right there.
You get that big ass one, and you're like, I'm just throwing everything in here. Yeah. And then the super dry, you know, nuclear reactor engine that dries it in 15 minutes, and you're like, this can't be healthy, but it sure is fast.
The worst part was like just not having quarters. You're like, all right, hang on. Let me go to 7-Eleven on the way to the laundromat. But
most of them would have change machines. Yeah, some there, of them, right?
Yeah, but I don't have money. Like, I don't carry a ton of cash on me. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to the laundromat. Let me swing by 7-Eleven, buy a Diet Coke,
get a roll
get
of quarters,
$10 back, yeah. Then cash those in for
cash
quarters.
Cash it in for quarters.
But I had no problems.
In college, we used to do the fluff and fold. There was a person that would do it. I'm not kidding. It was like $7. So you would drop your thing off, give her like $7, come back the next day, and it would be in your bag, folded neatly.
In college.
It was great. There was a little laundromat.
Which college was this?
Both. Texas Tech, they had one.
Really?
Yeah, it was like for students. It was really cool. I'm not kidding. It was $7 to $10.
That's a perk. That's not bad.
And you would take it down. It was a local business. And you would take it down, drop off your bag, and you'd come back, and it would be washed and folded, and it was like $10. It was nothing. And so you go home, you unload it, and you're good to go. They still have they have like fluff and folds you could take your stuff to. Mm-hmm. There's no excuse for having.
I mean, I go to the cleaners for my dress shirts and dry cleaning.
That's different.
Most laundromats have like drop it off.
Drop it off.
By noon, it'll be done by 5.
I'm talking to El Cheapo.
If I was really desperate, my parents live like 8 minutes away.
Yeah, you can go do laundry.
Washer and dryer. But everyone in the chat, I'm wondering, so are you re-wearing underwear? Because obviously, I bought a 5-pack at Costco when I was there over the weekend. So I had extras for this week just in case. And now I've gone through those. And now I'm down to the last couple of pairs. The clean, but on the older side.
The dregs. Yeah,
it's kind of the ones that you really wish you don't get to. The sign that you need to do the laundry because you're down to the worst boxer shorts or the briefs that you don't really like wearing anymore. That's where I'm at. But they are clean.
Well, you look sharp. You actually do look sharp in the collar shirt. I brought my 97.3 The Fan polo, as I always do. And, of course, mine was freshly washed and hung by my wife because I'm not allowed to touch my own laundry. So, yes, we will have a round table for you today.
I can't get over the thought of Hannah with a washboard in the backyard.
Yeah, it's really something.
Then you got a jug and all of a sudden like a bluegrass band.
Come on, baby. Come on, baby. You need any help? No? Yeah. Yeah, you would think that's the. I want one of those things now. I think I don't know if I can say it. Can I say what it's called?
A harmonica?
No. They called it a Jew's harp. That's what it's called. And you put the things in your mouth, and it's got the. Paulie, look it up. Look up the sound. It's my
and what
favorite.
It's really called, because there's no way that
that's
is the
what
actual
it's called.
Name
that's
for
what
it.
It's called. Jew's harp. That's what it's called.
I just think of the big, giant, you know, jug that they just blow over the top of and make the, you know.
Probably will find it. The mouth organ. That's not what it is. That's not
that's
what it is.
Something else.
It's called, jaw harp. Sorry, Matthew. Maybe that's what it was.
Jaw harp.
That's what I heard it was called. Is it not? You can't find it? Great. Yes! If anybody needs any last minute gift ideas for your old pal Woods, my birthday's in July. That's what I want. I want one of those. Is that not the greatest sound you've ever heard? More. I need more. Just keep it going. I need it. Who invents that?
Someone who is very bored.
God, I love it.
It is called a
Jew's harp. Yeah, I knew it was. Jaw harp. Doesn't Harris said, Woods is going to get 1,500 jaw harps. Fine by me. I love that sound. Never know what tangent you're going to get here on Ben and Woods in the.
Guess what?
Neither do we.
Neither do we.
Neither do we.
You want to peel the curtains back pretty much every. We'll hear the legal ID, KWFN 97.3 The Fan, right before our show open. We go, what are we doing here?
Yeah, what are we doing here? I got it.
I got something.
Now, I like that.
I guarantee you there was no discussion of
no
washboards and jaw or Jew's harps at all this morning before the show.
Jew's harp. I'm seeing a lot of... It's very relaxing and pleasant to me. It's
this video that
someone
I'm watching
win a Grammy Award for doing that.
Dude,
I have no
this.
Idea.
This video that I'm watching, it's just a guy and his kid in a field playing this. It's very weird.
So good. I can't get enough. I really want to master it. I want to master it sooner than later, to be honest. Fantastic stuff. Fantastic, fantastic stuff. How was everyone's day yesterday?
Oh, it was fine. I mean, you know, every time the Padres win, it always just kind of puts you in a good mood the rest of the day.
Especially
early wins.
Especially when they get that sucker out of the way, your night's freed up, you can do what you like, and you go into, like, you have that good feeling. That good feeling when the kids get home from school or whatever it is that you do, you get off work, Padres already win. And they won in such a dominant fashion yesterday. Dylan Cease was outstanding. He wins the Ben and Woods Jaws Harp. That's going to be our award. He wins the Jaws Harp for the day. He was fantastic yesterday. And all I kept thinking to myself was, where do we get another one? Where do we find another Dylan Cease? Because I feel like if we got another Dylan Cease, this team would be really good.
We'll talk about Dylan's performance coming up. I watched the game. So my son said, can we go get lunch? And I said, sure. We got to find somewhere that's going to have the game on television. So we settled on the new Board and Brew in Encinitas, which was fantastic. They got a big TV. But we walked in and the game is not on. And do you ever get that awkwardness where you have to ask one of the employees, can you change it to the Padres game for...
What was on?
Tennis. I think it was simply no one realized the game had started, because as soon as I did say it, it was like, oh, absolutely. It's like, jumped right to it and like popped it up. Someone's yelling, 694-3, because they have DirecTV, and they were very happy to turn it on, so I didn't feel bad about asking, but... It's always tough when you want to watch something. You go to an establishment and you're looking for the right thing on television and you have to flag someone down and they have to flag someone else down who understands their like AV equipment.
You do the whole look around like, is anybody actually watching this?
Yeah, you don't want to turn it. Clearly, we were like the only people in there, so no one was watching the tennis that was on. It was just happened to be a sports channel that was left on at some point, I think. So, yeah, we ended up having a great sandwich, great lunch, watching the game early, and then went home and did my Peloton while I watched the second half of the game, and it was as stress-free as we've... I mean, even for a close game that was never really outside of... You know, you're two batters away from the tying run coming up at any point. It never really felt, uh-oh, here we go again moment. You know, Dylan Cease was in complete control of that one.
You know, and this was a trip to Chicago that I had considered briefly taking at one point. I wanted to go to Chicago. I wanted to go with a buddy. I think I was actually going to go with Foster. And speaking of Jew's harp, I was going to go with Foster. And I thought to myself, if it was on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, which means, by the way, I would have been like, see you guys later. You know, you guys would have been here rotting, and I would have been in Chicago raging, having a great time. Now that I look back and I go, they won 2 out of 3, and the one that they lost was on a walk-off in the rain. That would have been a really, really good series to go to. We got a lot of friends, a lot of tier ones that were out there over the weekend and said they had the time of their lives
in
Chicago.
In the chat
now. Yes. Said it was incredible. Very, very jealous of you guys, man. But I'm glad that they were able to win that series. Another series win. We'll have the skipper, Mike Shildt, on tomorrow. We'll have a roundtable to discuss all of it today. Save something. Save a couple bullets in the chamber, Benny.
We have a surprise guest later today as well. We will tell you about it when we set the menu. That is coming up in our next segment.
Also, speaking of Jew's harp, we have a surprise guest. Very, very appropriate for him, too.
All right. We will we'll let you know what's on the show today.
Get into what y'all doing?
Some Padres talk this morning as we get started. It is Thursday. Tier 1s, glad to have you with us. Thanks for getting up in the morning with us. Kelly Danik going to check traffic. Then we'll be right back on San Diego's number one sports station is Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan. I'm going to go in reverse order here today when I set the menu because I teased an unexpected guest later this morning on Ben and Woods. And still not entirely clear as to why he's coming on, but it's fine.
Doesn't really matter.
Doesn't really matter. Coming up in our final segment at 9:35 this morning.
Hey, y'all.
That guy who plays the Jew's harp. Now, yeah. Andy Ashby is going to be with
Love
us today.
Ash, man.
Catching up with Andy Ashby, and Pauly shared a Andy Ashby nugget that even I was unaware of last night.
I was so relieved, actually, that neither of you knew this, because I'm like, I really hope he didn't tell the story, and I just wasn't listening.
No,
this
I'd never heard it.
I had never heard it either. So apparently...
This is not why we're having him on, by
no.
No, but apparently when Ash was a rookie with the Philadelphia Phillies, and Pauly sent the date, and I go, this must have been his second start, because he made his debut like... July 20th, 1991, and this was July 25th, 1991, Andy Ashby is one of the few ball players, pitchers, in Major League Baseball history with an immaculate inning.
It's amazing.
9 pitches, 9 strikes, 3 strikeouts. Dylan Cease looked like he might do it yesterday, never quite did, but yep. I did not realize that Andy Ashby was the owner of an immaculate inning, so... Going to have to ask him about that story since of all the things we've ever chatted with him about, and we've chatted with him about lots of things, including many things that we'll never see the light of day on the air probably.
At the time, he became the 15th National League pitcher to ever do it and just the 24th pitcher ever.
It's not quite as rare as a perfect game, but much more rare than a no-hitter.
Oh, yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, much more.
It's between perfect game and no-hitter in terms of uniqueness for a Major League Baseball pitcher to throw an immaculate inning.
Yeah, honestly, Ash is doing something to help raise some money for the Padres Foundation. So reached out, asked if he could come on. He's got carte blanche. Andy Ashby is welcome on this program anytime. Anytime he can come in and co-host, he can do whatever he wants. Ashby is one of our favorite human beings alive. And really, like, there's a lot of reasons to go to fantasy camp. Ash is probably top three.
Oh, easily.
Getting to play for him, with him, against him is the best. He is the most congenial, kind, willing to help, wants to tell stories all day. We'll have a Coors Light in his hand at 6:15 a.m. Like, every time we start the show, he's walking by. What y'all doing? You on Coors Light? No. And Andy at 6:15 in the morning. All right.
A couple of immaculate inning notes. Guzinator says, I knew that because I had his rookie card, and that was the tidbit on the back. And Welsh Friar says, reminds us that Josh Hader was a pitch away from an immaculate inning, the 9th inning of game 4. Of the NLDS against the Dodgers when he closed it out, right?
Oh, my God,
10 pitches, 9 strikes, and 3 strikeouts. He threw one ball that inning. Finished with what? Freddie Freeman, I think it was?
Freeman.
Struck him out to end it. So that is very rare, though, and an accomplishment that I did not know Andy Ashby had. But that's at the end of the program. Obviously, we get our Padres wrap-up coming up in our next segment. We'll go through yesterday's game. Obviously, it's nearly 24 hours old, but we've got some thoughts on the Padres winning the series and taking the season series from the Chicago Cubs. We'll have Real or Fake on a Throwback Thursday today, a chance to win that $25 Carl's Jr. gift card this week coming up at 7:10. And speaking of Throwback Thursday, Pauly says we may just intersperse throughout the show, maybe starting at 7:35, a few Throwback Thursday moments from the Ben and Woods vault and archives over the last 6 years. So be listening in all morning for Throwback Thursday clips. Second half of the show features Eno Saris, as always, on a Thursday. Our Smart Baseball segment at 8:35. He had a piece. Yeah, it came out either yesterday or the day before. Even I didn't totally understand this one. He's going to have to explain it, but... It reflected well on the Padres' offense.
Yeah, it's essentially who has seen the toughest pitching this year. Like, what teams have run up against the toughest,
like,
pitching?
Overperformed against tougher pitching?
Correct.
And it was like the Padres and the Phillies have actually done the best so far, given the quality of opposition faced.
And
but
it's essentially,
the Padres weren't like in the top 10 of toughest pitching, though, in the list, so I was very confused.
Which hitters have seen the nastiest pitches this year? Your favorite struggling bat, that's who. And it might help explain some full team struggles as well. So really cool. Also, it has a lot to do with the, as he titles his article, the quirks of Major League Baseball scheduling provides a new way to look at luck for hitters. So, there are guys that are hot right now that haven't seen the nastiest pitches. There are guys that are scuffling right now that have. And so it's a good way. It's an interesting way. I hadn't thought about that. For example, Randy Arozarena has seen the nastiest pitches this season. Guess who's off to a really slow start? Randy Arozarena. So there you go. Aaron Judge. Terrible start.
How could it not make a difference?
It absolutely makes a difference.
You know, in a smaller sample size, and a month of a baseball season is still a small-ish sample size. If you faced a few extra aces over that month, you're not going to have your best offensive
Correct.
Numbers. That's true. So you do have to factor that in when you're evaluating early season performances by hitters.
It's just one of those quintessential Eno Saris topics where you don't really, like, you think you know. When you sit back and you go back over the Padres win-loss record, you go, I feel like we should have gotten to that guy. Ooh, he's really good. Oh, he had his really good stuff. That, you know, we are always coming in here tipping our cap, and Mike Schilt's always tipping his cap. There's actually numbers and data behind it, you know, and so I don't think it's an excuse at all, but I think it's a good way to look at it. And that's what Eno does the best, man. He finds that little crack that nobody else thinks about and opens it up. It's great.
I think, anecdotally, you're always feeling like, we're running into the other team's aces, but the Padres, you know, they had, Imanaga this week, Berrios for Toronto. Even though Toronto's in last place now, Berrios has been great. He had a dominant performance against the Padres, and they've been doing it against other teams as well.
Sure.
It's not simply, Padres offense stinks, they can't hit anybody. It's like,
that's right.
No one's hitting these particular guys that the Padres have faced early in the season, and yet their offense overall has performed quite well, actually. So we'll have Eno on at 8:35. Paulie's got a Rindle Report headlines in our 9 o'clock hour. And coming up at some point in the program today, we're going to give away Padres-Dodgers tickets for tomorrow's series opener. All shows have tickets to give away today. We're giving away tickets for tomorrow. Annie and Elston will be giving away tickets for Saturday. Gwen and Chris will be giving away tickets for Sunday. And I like when we do a sounder, like something you have to listen for.
I think we know what it should be.
Well, I was going to agree. It's the
it's got to be the heart.
Yep. The problem is now I'm not going to be able to play it again until we give away the ticket. So I was worried about making that the choice because I could see Paulie just wanting to go back to that over and over again all day.
That's not it, by the way. So
that's not what you're listening for. That is now what you're listening for. Okay, you were listening for that particular instrument that we're still not exactly sure. Is it a jaw harp? Is it a Jew's harp?
Yeah.
That sounder.
Now, all the tier ones listening right now at 6:30.
You have
in the
advantage.
You've got the advantage.
Yep. Feel free to share with your friends or not. It's totally up to you. But when you hear that that instrument again, call 833-288-0973. Could happen during a segment. Could happen during a break. Could happen at any time in the next 3 hours and 30 minutes. It'll be before the roundtable. I promise you that. Call 833-288-0973. The third caller, when you hear that, is going to win the tickets to the Padres-Dodgers game tomorrow night. I don't know if they've been sold out yet. I know there were limited tickets available at padres.com/tickets, at least as of yesterday. So if you want to check that out now, you can for this weekend series with the Dodgers coming to town.
Very cool. Very cool.
All right. And then the roundtable from 10 to 11. Everyone's going to be in. We'll head over to the soundstage. I got my topics all set up once again. And hopefully we'll have a good final hour. So we're... You and I here at least until 11 o'clock this morning, buddy.
Very cool.
All right, let's get to our Padres wrap-up that is coming up next. Talk about Dylan Cease's masterful performance against the Chicago Cubs yesterday at Wrigley Field when we return on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Pretty sure I didn't miss our call-in sounder for the Padres-Dodgers tickets.
Nope.
Paulie, no, not yet.
Did not miss it.
Not yet.
Hang tight.
Just be patient. It's Ben Woods. Let's get to our Padres wrap-up. We got the highlights from yesterday's win as the Padres take the series, a winning road trip, a season series victory over the Chicago Cubs, a team that is clearly in at least playoff contention, tied for first place early in the season in the NL Central. Good series, good trip for the Padres. We'll talk about it right after this check traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
I love winning, man. Love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Oh my God, I'm so stiff.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
What up, crew?
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
I like it when the Padres win.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's the Padres Wrap-Up, presented by Hamul Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hamul Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hamul Casino, fun above all else.
Yeah!
Give me a do damage.
Do damage!
Manny lines this one into right center field. He's going to give up a run here. Arise is rounding third on an RBI single. And the Padres a 1-0 lead in the first. Here's the 2-1. Tatis swings, hits a rocket to left field and a base hit. Hap getting to it quickly. Camposano rounding third. He's going to come in and score. And right after he had the feet moved, Fernando an RBI single. And the Padres now lead it 2-0. Two on, two out. Pitch to Cronenworth. Hit hard over the head of the third baseman, Morel. And down the left field line. Arraez has scored. Tatis will be held at third. And into second with an RBI double. Jake Cronenworth, his second hit of the day. And the Padre lead is now 3-0. Trying to strike out the side for the second time today. And he will. A swing and a miss at a fastball. And now five straight strikeouts for Dylan Cease. 1-2. Swung on and missed. Strike three. Cease gets him. That is a season-high 10 strikeouts for Dylan Cease. And one away here in the seventh inning. Pitch 113 about to be delivered. 2-2 to Michael Busch. Cease kicks and fires. And that is right at the top of the zone. Strike three called. 12 strikeouts on the day for Dylan Cease. And 7 shutout innings. Suarez comes set at the belt. 2-2. The pitch swung on and missed. Strike three. Suarez strikes out Bellinger to complete the one-hit shutout. And the Padres become the first visiting team to win a series at Wrigley this year. They cap a 4-2 road trip with a 3-0 win this afternoon. And boy, was Dylan Cease special.
Oh, my gosh, man. You know, what a tremendous outing. Another tremendous performance, outstanding fastball, serious life following it all the way to the end. You know, the slider just continues to be filthy. You know, they're able to command it, repeat it, fastball where he wants to. Mixed in his change in the end, he's doing that in seven. But that was huge for a getaway day, last game of a series road trip. You know, not a lot in the bullpen based on the last couple of days. And he just threw a tremendous game. It was just what the doctor ordered.
It's exactly what we needed. Exactly, and frankly, how everyone on this show and in our fan base drew it up. That's exactly what we said needed to happen, and it happened and was executed to perfection. We didn't expect to beat him in Aga. We had a chance. We had a lead. That one slipped through our fingers. We really, really felt that winning on getaway day yesterday was going to happen. And it did. They executed Ben to perfection. It was one of the tidiest wins of 2024.
I had the same thought. When the series started on Monday morning, we talked about, well, I mean, in your head, see if you can get this first one with Darvish on the mound. Second one's going to be tough with, you know, Randy Vasquez bullpen day against Imanaga. But yep. Maybe you keep it close, have a chance to steal it late. And then, you know, you split the first two, you get a good chance with Cease on the mound on Wednesday. And it actually did play out exactly that way.
Very rare.
Last year, nothing ever played out the way you expected.
Mm-mm.
Nothing.
Not a damn thing.
Nothing was predictable. Mm. And I get it. Sports are always unpredictable.
Especially baseball.
But there are certain trends that you can identify, and occasionally they do actually play out the way you think they're going to. And this series did play out in a good way for the San Diego Padres. And, Dylan Cease was amazing. He has only gotten better and better. We made the early season comps to Blake Snell, both good and kind of bad, like the erratic, but very hard to hit, very low batting average allowed for the opponents. That was the not very Blake Snell like yesterday. There wasn't the stressful long innings. There wasn't the walks and the deep counts. And it was simply efficient strikeout performance by Dylan Cease.
Chef Boyardee in a can is also spaghetti. And Dylan Cease is like Rosanna's spaghetti and meatballs. They're both pitchers. They both have filthy stuff. You can put both on a plate and eat them. One is massively different. It's just different. Nothing against, not a knock on Blake. Blake was like,
I don't know, calling him Chef Boyardee is kind of a knock.
It's just different, different kinds. Like, it's still good. Ben still likes Chef Boyardee.
I do.
Right? All right, let's go like California Pizza Kitchen then, right? Fine, something like that. They're both good. Eat them. You know, it's fine. It's way different. That you don't feel like you're on bath salts when you're watching Dylan Cease. You're not biting your nails, looking through the blinds like oh my God, I can't watch. 3-1 again, 3-2 again. Oh my God, I struck him out. Good. Dylan Cease just.
The catcher doesn't have to block 17 pitches balls. That it are just swung at and missed.
Yeah. But it's a different scene entirely.
The way he held a little bit in reserve until the end, hit 99, I think, on the black to finish it out after seven innings. Tremendous performance. Now 5-2 lowers his ERA to 2.19. Of course, the only hit that was allowed in the game,
of course,
was the infield single by Yan Gomes in the third inning. And this is when I was at Borden Brew with my son, and I actually said to him, because I had joked, oh, Dylan Cease, six up, six down, got the perfect game going. And I go, oh, there it goes. Although, I said, that could actually be an error. When I watched it live, I go, they won't call it one, but it was not hit hard. It was like a three-hopper back to the mound that Dylan Cease knocked off of his glove. And then Xander Bogaerts nearly made the play on the slow runner Gomes. It was enough that Mike Schilt had him hold for a second to decide whether or not they were going to challenge it. And I believe he was safe by just the tiniest of fractions of margins. But that's about as close, other than Joe's actual no-hitter. There's been deeper no-hitters that the Padres have lost, you know, late in the ninth inning in franchise history, but in terms of...
To a ball that was clearly a hit.
Yeah, in terms of going nine innings and allowing as wimpy of a hit as you possibly can to not get a no-hitter, that might go right up there on the top of the list in Padres franchise history as number two behind Joe's no-hitter.
100% a blessing in disguise, that hit, because now you're not going to go out there and feel the need to push Dylan Cease to 140 pitches to get a no-hitter in Chicago. He was awesome. The only time I really started in on the fingernails was when Wandy Peralta came in, and hey man, he got the job done. Tip my hat to Wandy Peralta, and of course Robert Suarez immediately puts you at ease. And yeah, two strikeouts from Peralta, one from Suarez. Padres struck out 15 Cubs yesterday. Fantastic, fantastic win. Found a way to manufacture three runs. Luis Arraez being at the top of all that was amazing. Just how he drew it up.
And just apart from getting the win, it was important for Dylan Cease to go deep in that game because of how much the bullpen had been used the past couple of days. Here's Mike Schilt on what it did for that taxed bullpen.
I mean, listen, you know, going back to the last game in Arizona, and, you know, Vasquez did the ball really well. Just, you know, got him out in the fifth and managed the game from there. And had to use a lot of guys to bring it home on the first game, you know, after a quality start by Darvish for five. But yeah, we needed it, and good news is he's really efficient with his pitches, and you know, he had his punch outs obviously, but didn't have a lot of stress, so we were able to take him into that seventh and feel good about it.
I think the fact that the Padres have an off day today as well, meaning they can give Dylan Cease an extra day of rest before his next start, which will be at Coors Field against the Rockies, no, home against the Rockies next week. Yeah, home against the Rockies next week probably lets Mike Schilt feel, all right, we can push him beyond 100 pitches today and not feel too like we're risking too much in terms of putting too much taxation on his arm.
I want to say I heard on the broadcast yesterday we've had either five or six guys go over 100 pitches, and let's say it's six. Dylan Cease has done it five times or something. Like, he is clearly
Jesse said that the 113 pitches is actually the second most thrown by any pitcher in baseball. Or maybe Chris Ellis said it yesterday after the game. Chris Bassitt had 116 in one start this year.
That's right.
No one else has thrown more than 113 in any starts this year. That's how careful teams and managers and pitching coaches have become with their starters. And I get, as the season goes on, generally you let starters go a little bit deeper and you're more careful in April. But that shocked me that even in a month, which is, I mean, you know, there's 15 baseball games a night most nights, that there hasn't been more than one pitcher to go over 115 pitches in a game other than Chris Bassitt, and 113 is the second most. It's a different era of starting pitching, to be sure.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, that I really enjoyed about yesterday, and I just touched on it briefly, is Luis Arraez being, you know, the guy that scored, what, two of the three runs.
Got on base three times, two more hits.
Yep, two more hits. And listen, it was a day yesterday where Your hottest hitter didn't do anything. Jerickson Profar really didn't do much at all. 0 for 4, a couple Ks. But they figured out how to score some runs early. Manny getting them on the board early with the knock, of course, after Arises on base. Jake Cronenworth continues to stay hot. Really, really good. But yeah, there's, you look at the lineup that is just, it's as good as the offensive numbers are right now, Ben. Top what in baseball? Top 8, 7, 6 offense in baseball right now.
Yeah.
Still, you've got guys, we are not firing on all cylinders by a long shot. I mean, Xander looked like he was getting on track. 2 for 4 in the first game, then went 0 for 8 after that. Jackson Merrill is you know, kind of hitting the skid a little bit. He was 1 for 8 in the series against Chicago. So, yeah, man, this is why you get Luis Arraez to lead off and set the table for those guys and really just kind of hope that they're able to move them around the bases and squeeze some runs in. It's exactly what they did, and they had the pitching to back it up yesterday. Phenomenal win. Phenomenal.
You mentioned Jake. 2 more hits. Had the only extra base hit in the game.
Yep.
It was that 2-out RBI double that made it 3-0 in the fifth. He now has a 12-game hitting streak, which is the longest active hitting streak in all of Major League Baseball. And there was a nice a supplementary piece in the UT about Jake. And, you know, we've talked to him about some of the self-reflection and the changes that he made in the offseason. But this was new. It was about him and Victor Rodriguez. And in Korea, actually, Rodriguez coming up to him and going, there's this drill I think that we can do. Like, it's part of your warm-ups every day that I think is going to help. And they did it the second day of the Korea series. It was a soft, kind of a soft toss where I guess Jake kind of gets closer and closer. It's to help keep his hands in, yeah. You know, just kind of get that in his mind as he's getting ready for the game. Happened to go 4 for 4 that day. So, you know, any superstitious ball player or any ball player is going to go, okay, that worked for me, and they've continued to do it, and they talked about how they feel like it's had a positive impact on Jake, just in addition to the swing changes he's made, put him in the right frame of mind going into each game this season. He's had a really consistent start to the year this year.
Yep.
As consistent as we've ever seen Jake take at-bats in the box since he's been with the Padres.
No question about it. No question about it. He's been great. Oh, and how about his defense yesterday? Turning that double play was so huge.
It's like the only hard-hit ball pretty much off Dylan Cease. It turned into 2 outs.
It turned into 2 outs. Dylan obviously was really, really excited about it and you know, allowed him to have a phenomenal, phenomenal game. He pitched, 7 complete yesterday. And again, Wandy getting his outs, which was great, executed really well, and then Robert Suarez, just as calm as can be, comes in, nails it down, and you take that series and you get the season series, and that's exactly what we said they needed to do. Couldn't be happier about the start of this week. Now, where it's going to get a little dicey is this weekend, but you know, we'll preview that series today and probably tomorrow as well. But
the beginning of the week, we said 3-3.
3-3 would be great.
And they are in a great position for at least for that.
Great position for that.
Yeah, 2-1. And while it's definitely putting the cart ahead of the horse and it's early in the season, it is important to win season series against everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Including a Cubs team that, you know, probably figures to be in the playoff race at the end. You want to have as many of those tiebreakers as possible when you don't feel like you're a team that's going to... Does anyone really feel like the Padres are going to cruise into the playoffs this year?
Absolutely not.
I don't think that would be a fair expectation. Can they make the playoffs? Absolutely. But if they
do... I expect them to, yeah.
If they do, I feel like it's probably going to come down in the last week or so of the season, and you want to hold as many of those cards as you can at the end of the year. And taking 4 out of 6 from the Cubs, even though it's many months off when it might make a difference, it absolutely could make a difference at the end. So that game, to me, was very important yesterday. And Dylan Cease did what aces need to do, step up in those games to deliver series wins, to deliver winning road trips, you know, before you come home on an off day, and be able to enjoy that off day a little bit more today.
I have a proposal. We do a two-man rotation of just Dylan Cease and Yu Darvish every other day, and that would work for me. Joe Musgrove is out right now. Michael King, yeah, he's been okay. We'll see how he does against the Dodgers this weekend. Matt Waldron's going to get another look this weekend as well. Who is the... And you. Yeah, you will throw on Sunday.
You throws on Sunday.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
it's
right.
Glasnow, Paxton and Bueller, I believe, for the Dodgers this weekend.
That's
cool.
That's two. That's two beatable pitches. It's for them though. It's how do you slow their lineup? That's how do you slow their lineup? Because now even their bottom of the lineup has started to hit, and the top took the night off the other night, and they still won 8-1. Granted, against the Marlins, and but still,
did you see their game yesterday? So
no.
They won 3-1. Teoscar Hernandez drove in all three runs against Ryan Weathers with a home run and an RBI single. But the notable thing about the Dodgers game yesterday, it took 1 hour and 55 minutes to play.
It's insane.
It was the fastest Dodgers game since 2003, I think I read. And I don't know, that's almost too fast. I've been a big fan of the rule changes and the pitch clock. You go and you're done in less than 2 hours? That is rapid baseball on a getaway day. I think it may be as much on the Marlins at this point.
Yeah.
I mean, has any team ever raise the white flag as early in a season as the Miami Marlins have?
What are their options? I mean, they just lost another starting pitcher yesterday to injury. They're just decimated. Decimated. And lack of offense. You know, Tim Anderson's done nothing. Nothing since he got there. I mean, they just don't have the horses at all. Just got Berger back off the IL. I mean, it's pretty lean there in Miami. Might be a team that's stays ripe for the picking, if you know what I mean. If they do have,
it almost feels like when you do finally get the chance to play them and the White Sox, the pressure is enormous.
Enormous.
I mean, the Padres have already coughed up two games against the Rockies that you feel like, oh, now you're going to be trying to, you know, chase those two losses that you gave up earlier. You can't lose any against the Marlins or the White Sox. You know, those should be 9 free wins right there. You know, the Dodgers are not going to lose more than a game against those teams this year. So every time you lose, it's basically a dropped game in the standings.
That's exactly right.
All pressure games, no matter what the schedule looks like.
Yep.
All right, that's one quick hour for us. We will come back. We've got Real or Fake, chance to win the $25 gift card to Carl's Jr. and more ahead here on 97.3 The Fan.